get promos and discounts from Filipino startups. Check out our partners at the description. Julian Peters is co-founder and lead developer at TravelFeed. Hello, Julian. Welcome to the Startup Podcast. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. So you're in the Philippines right now, right?
Yeah, exactly, in Siargao.
Yeah, how is the Philippines? How is Siargao?
Oh, it's amazing. I really like it here.
Yeah, and by the way, if I may ask, what got you in the Philippines? What got you in Siargao?
Well, Siargao is like an emerging hub for digital nomads. Now that there's Starlink and so on, it's a great place to work for and a great place to travel. Really nice.
Actually, Siargao is being popular right now, not just for tourists, but also for digital nomads. So you
Yeah.
work, you travel, and you have fun all at the same time in Siargao.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's very perfect for your project, for what you're doing. So you're actually the co-founder of TravelFeed. So I'd love you to do the introduction, Julian. So what is TravelFeed?
So TravelFeed is a travel blogging platform, and it is the easiest way to start a travel blog, to grow a travel blog, and to monetize a travel blog.
Yeah, I've taken a look at the website. So by the way, the website is travelfeed.com, and it's very, very, very awesome. I mean, I myself, I'm somehow a traveler. I'm somehow, quote unquote, a travel blogger. I mean, nowadays, almost everyone is a travel blogger. I mean, you go somewhere, you explore the place, you take pictures, and you post them on your social media, Facebook, Instagram. But can you give the picture for our listeners or for anyone who wants to start a travel blog at TravelFeed? So how easy and how fast is it to start a travel blog in TravelFeed?
It's super easy, actually. You just have to go to travelfeed.com and then you can sign up for a new account. Just put an email address and a password, confirm your email, and you're set to go. You can already start blogging.
And then how can we post or put our pictures there? How can we create content in the platform?
So there's a really easy editor. We call it the Easy Editor. And you can just upload pictures there and compose blog posts, change the formatting, add even image galleries and so on, and really make a blog look like you wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, and just for our listeners, so how does this like compare to other blogging platforms? Let's say Facebook, for example. It's sort of a blog, it's part of a social media. You have a profile, you can post there, or maybe also in comparison with like WordPress, for example, or maybe like the older sites like Tumblr, for example, or Multiply. So can you just give a picture on how really does TravelFeed work, especially for our aspiring travel bloggers?
Yeah, those are actually two really great examples, Facebook and WordPress, because it brings about like the benefits of both together. So WordPress is a great platform to write like long blog posts, but it's based on like really old technology. So WordPress itself is like 20, I think over 20 years old now. And it's just based on really old technology. Of course, it's been updated, but it still takes quite a time to set it up. Then there's like so many plugins. You always need to do security updates. So it's a lot of effort to start a blog with WordPress, but it is a great platform to like blog long form content. While social media like Facebook are really great for their social features. Like you share something, and all your friends that are using the platform see it. They don't have to go to your website to see it. They can just see it in their feed along with posts from others. And TravelFeed brings those two things together. So it's a platform for long-form content, blog posts, but it also has the social aspect. So it has a feed. You can follow people, see what they are posting. You can post blogs from different destinations, from many authors.
Oh, I see. So I can post an essay there, right? I can post an article about my travel. I can share about my experiences. I can put the pictures there, and all my connections can also see my profile and can also see my post, right? So how does the social aspect work? There's one particular tab or one particular button in the website I'm very curious about, the destinations tab. So when I go there, and by the way, so if you're listening to this, please go to the website. It's actually very beautiful. So if you go to the destinations tab, you can actually see like different places there. And when you click or when you go to a certain place, you can see like many pictures or many posts on about that place. So for example, I choose the Philippines. I can see other people or other posts or other pictures in the Philippines. So how does this work? How does that destinations button work?
Yeah, the Destinations tab is actually quite a new feature that we introduced last year. And we were looking into what was there before there were travel blogs. And before there were travel blogs, everyone got their information from like physical guidebooks, like A Lonely Planet or so. And now they still have quite a lot of good points. Like they give you like an idea about the country, give you some quick facts. Also, they have like some suggested itineraries. But then travel blogs are like better to get up-to-date information. And maybe more like hidden gems, more like something more personalized. You can find a blogger who like likes the same things that you like. And so yeah, both have quite a few advantages. And the idea of the Destinations tab is to bring those two together, like a compact overview of the country, some itinerary suggestions, as well as like all the blogs from all the authors and travel feed. So there's actually quite a lot of my own travel experiences in the destination tab. Like a lot of the like highlighted countries are countries where I've been to, and I've added itineraries that are popular there that I did myself, added some of my own photos as well.
Yeah, that's actually true. I mean, before, like maybe 10 years ago or maybe 20 years ago, maybe when you want to go to a place or when you want to search for a place, you actually buy some travel guide or watch the television, go to a certain channel, and then look at what a few people have designed for you. I mean, a few people have gone there, and then a few people show you what it's like to be there. But now in the world of social media, in the world of digitalization, in the internet world, this is actually a cool way to aggregate or to get the experiences of other people. And for example, I want to go to a certain place, let's say Sao Paulo, or let's say for example, Hong Kong, or for example, the Philippines. So every pictures about that place and every experience and every post and every itinerary, I can see all in one click or all in one page. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And so what we actually do is we like manually curated a lot of countries and added information to it. But then sometimes there's like a place where we haven't added information, and that is then supplemented by AI-generated information.
And just for our listeners to get excited about this, so can you give some places there? I mean, what are the current places that can be seen there, or what countries can be seen there? So can you just give them a picture?
Oh, it's basically anywhere in the world. So any place that's not shown, there's also a search bar. You can search for the place and you'll get like a quick introduction to it.
So is it per country or per city or per destination?
So the destinations tab is per country. And then like for some countries, for example, for Spain, we've added like several regions. So for like Spain, like see like Canary Islands or so.
How about for the Philippines?
For the Philippines, I think there's currently no sub-destinations added. But you can like go to the search bar and just search for anything. That's just quite experimental. I think I've only done it with like Spain and France to see how it would look like. So it's not added to other countries yet. But you can like search for any place. You could search for Chagall, for example, and you would have like an AI-generated short summary of like what makes Chagall special. And then you have like all the blog posts by the community about Chagall.
So that's actually my next question. I also see that there's an AI blogger. So yeah, how does it work? Can you give like the full features that the AI can do for anyone who wants to do a travel blog?
So AI actually makes blogging a lot of easier, but also it's a bit dangerous because AI tends to hallucinate. So if you, let's say you use just ChatGPT and say, hey, write me a travel blog about Chagall, it will like probably like recommend you like a restaurant and tell you a lot about it. And then you Google it and that restaurant has never existed. And yeah. So it makes up a lot of stuff, and then often it's not that helpful, actually. It just gives you very generic advice. But it can actually help with writing a travel blog. And what the AI blogger does, it's basically a wrapper around ChatGPT with like a lot of customized prompts, and it's based on your personal notes. So if you want to use the AI blogger, first you have to put in your own notes. And what I do when I travel, I keep a short travel diary. And every day I try to like write down some things, and I include some details like prices I paid or like a travel time, maybe some recommendations. And then I can paste those notes that I make, which contain like all my personalized recommendations for a place. I can paste those into AI Blogger, and I get a draft for a blog post based on that. And it should have like much less hallucinations than a normal AI generated post, and it should be much more helpful. And then you can start with that rather than starting from like a blank page. And edit it, add some more things, add photos, of course. And especially for me, who's not a native English speaker, it makes writing a great blog post much easier.
Let's talk about that first, Julian. So let's skip a bit. Let's go to your story first. I'm actually very curious now that you've built these features in TravelFeed. You've built a platform wherein anyone can easily create a travel blog. So I'm actually curious about you in the first place. I mean, are you a traveler? I mean, how far or how many have you traveled? I mean, how big of the world have you explored? And do you explore often? Do you travel often? And speaking of your travel diary, how do you make this travel diary? What things do you write? Do you write like about the food that you ate, the places that you've seen, the experience with the people, the culture, etc.? So can you just share some personal views about traveling?
Yes, so I travel full time basically. It doesn't mean that I like do like sightseeing or so every day. I'm a digital nomad. And so I first started like really traveling on my own like right after high school, when I saved up for like a big trip and I was like budget traveling and started in South America, then made my way to New Zealand and worked for a few months in Australia and then traveled Southeast Asia. And then I went back to Germany to go to university because I realized that I want to like get the skills to build something. So I studied computer science, learned like a bit of programming in university and like taught myself more like working on projects like TravelFeed. And I realized that traveling just really makes me happy. So while I was at university, I kept traveling a lot. I did an exchange semester in Taiwan and then basically paused university for a while in 2019 to work more on TravelFeed while I was traveling as a digital nomad. So started really nomading 2019, had to stop a bit during the pandemic. And then for like the last 2.5 years, I've been like really nomading full time. So I have no idea how big the count is of countries I've been to. I think it's over 60, maybe over 70 or something.
Oh.
So yeah, and so I started doing the travel diary like originally on my first trip on so I had a netbook. This was like this really small laptop stand, and that broke like 1 month into my trip, and I just kept doing like a travel diary. I bought a notebook and just wrote something down every day. And so I write down, of course, like personal experiences, like people I meet, food as well, if I eat something interesting, which happens almost every day.
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure many of our listeners right now are actually somewhat jealous of that lifestyle. So you're actually very fortunate, Julian, that first of all, you like traveling. And you can travel and you're doing something for other travelers. But I'm actually curious about the digital nomad lifestyle. I mean, it's getting popularity nowadays, but how really does it feel to be a digital nomad? I mean, let me share a few of my travels. I mean, I'm not that much of a traveler. I usually just travel like maybe once or twice a year. But recently I actually lived also in Taiwan. I actually lived in Taiwan for almost 5 years and just a few years ago. So it's actually amazing for me that you also mentioned Taiwan. I think Germany and Taiwan has quite some relations because of the semiconductor industry. But anyway, I mean, it's really fun to live in another country. It's really fun. Actually, it's more fun not just to travel or like to tour, but it's more fun to experience and to feel the culture, to know how the people there really, really go about. So can you share, how's the life of a digital nomad? Can you give more examples or more stories?
So I think everyone's life is like a bit different. Like I meet like many nomads who actually have regular jobs. So they have like 9-to-5 jobs, like often in a different time zone that they are in. And then they can like mostly travel on the weekends. But what is like special for me that like I do like some freelance work, but I mostly work on own projects. So I really have a lot of flexibility. So like sometimes I really feel like I'm working on a new feature and I like start coding. I forget the time. I code for like 10 hours and I really feel like working a lot. And other times I feel like, hey, I just want to travel for a bit. And I really enjoy this flexibility. And then, exploring like more of countries, not just the main places. But since I have a lot of time, I have like more time to see like different parts of the country than if you were like on a 1-week vacation or so. And I really enjoy that part.
Yeah, actually same. I mean, that's also why I like Travel Feed. I mean, I like the idea of getting the experiences from other travelers. Because like when I just watch a certain TV show or a certain, let's say, one article about it, it means everyone who reads that article will do exactly the same. I want to try new things. I want to explore places that have never been experienced or things that have never been done by other people. And I also want to document it. So I think it's really amazing what you're doing here at Travel Feed. So let me ask you, how did you think about this idea? I mean, how and what motivated you to start this project and to build it further up to what it is now, travelfeed.com?
Well, so basically I did my big trip after high school and I came back home for Christmas in 2016, started university, and I already felt that I was like missing traveling a bit. So I went through like all the like photos that I had taken during my big trip and like started sorting my photos. And I was thinking I had like so many unique experiences. I was like often really traveling on a budget. I was like hitchhiking. I was like staying with locals. Had like some really amazing and unique experiences, and I feel I wanted to share those experiences. So I started like blogging on the blockchain actually, and there was like a community of many other travel bloggers. It was like really starting to grow at like the end of 2017, and there was like on the existing front ends for that blockchain, which was the predecessor to Hive, which we are running on now. Something like Reddit. So it wasn't really optimized for blogging so much. And especially you couldn't like view travel blogs by destination or something like that. So you saw like the blogs in your feed, like you would see like people posting something on Facebook, but there wasn't much of a search function. And you couldn't say, hey, I'm traveling there and I want to see like blogs of the bloggers that I follow about those places. You could maybe like Google that and try to find something. But it wasn't really a good platform for travel blogging. And then we in the team had the idea that we want a platform that is like based on the blockchain and interoperable with the blockchain, but is more optimized for travel blogging and also brings you like blogging features that you want to see, like image galleries or Instagram embeds. And then the idea was born to create Travel Feed. And I wasn't a developer at the time. I was like in the second semester of computer science. I learned like a little bit of coding at university, but not much of web development. And initially we were talking to some teams to like help us with developing a platform, but we didn't really have a budget or funds. So nothing really came out of that. And then I was like, hey, I want to learn this anyway. So I want to build Travel Feed myself. And then so I started teaching myself coding and managed to get a first version of Travel Feed up and running in the end of 2018 while I was in Taiwan, actually.
Yeah. Before we go to the blockchain talk, I mean, that's very interesting. That's like the technology and the new tech part here. I want to ask first about when you started Travel Feed, you mentioned about the community that you've met, the other travel bloggers that you've met. But when you started Travel Feed, I mean, how did you invite people to join the community? How did you invite other travel bloggers to use the platform? I mean, how basically did you grow the users or the community in Travel Feed?
That's a good question, actually. So we first started just by building a community. So there were like many people blogging about travel, and some would post like one photo. Some would post like really long travel blogs, and there wasn't really a way to sort that. So we started with one tag, Travel Feed. You add this tag to your posts, and we read every post that's under this tag, and we would like share all the posts that we found were like worth reading. So every day, we in the team would like go to the posts and share the best posts. And if someone posted something short, so we had a minimum criteria of 250 words, they would say, hey, nice post, but it doesn't really fit our tag. Please don't use the tag. Or write a longer post and do use the tag. So we started building this community. At the same time, we started a Discord server for just chatting. And we had like a really active community early on before we even had a platform. And while I was traveling, I actually met many members of the community. So I met someone in Spain. I met people in Bangkok, in Vietnam, in Taiwan, all who were like active on the blockchain, blogging using the Travel Feed tag before we even had a platform.
Oh. That's nice. That's very nice. So, I mean, the users of TravelFeed right now are like all over the world. I mean, all different countries, different ethnicities. Yeah. Another thing that you mentioned, I just realized the importance nowadays of the search function and of the tag function. In the world today, there's so much content out there in the internet, in the World Wide Web, in the web. But search function lets you get what you want, and then the tag function actually optimizes the search function because other people can label or can define their content. Lately, I actually learned that the usefulness of the hashtags. I learned recently that other people, when they want to search for a place, for example, in the Philippines, they want to go to Siargao or they want to go to La Union, and before they know about TravelFeed, what they will do actually is they will search the hashtags. They will search, for example, Siargao, hashtag Siargao, or let's say hashtag La Union and hashtag food, for example, and then or hashtag restaurants, and then they will see the restaurants that they might want to try there. So they do that on Instagram, they do that on TikTok, and they do that on Facebook, on different other platforms. So going to TravelFeed, I mean, is there like specific search and tag function like that? Because I think it's really very important for this kind of platform.
Yes, yeah, so our search function currently is like only location based. So you enter Siargao and you'll find like all the blog posts about Siargao, but it doesn't currently filter like from what is in the post itself. And the reason for that is we have like actually quite a lot of posts on the platform. I think it's about 35,000 blog posts more or less right now. But this is for the whole world. So if you search only for Siargao, you have maybe like a few blog posts only. So I think this function makes a lot of sense if you have like as much content as Instagram has about the place.
Yeah. True. So before we go to the blockchain talk, I want again to ask you about your time in the Philippines right now. So because I just remembered because I mentioned the word food. So have you tried food, local cuisine in the Philippines? Have you tried some unique experiences, some unique things here in the Philippines?
Yeah, I really like the food actually. So I'm going a lot for breakfast to a nearby carinderia, and every day they have some different things, and it's usually really good. And I get like half portions and try like four different things or so.
Until when are you in the Philippines?
So definitely for another month or so, and then I have to see. Oh. Like I haven't planned that much about it, so I don't have booked a flight out yet. So I'm going back to Europe in May. And yeah, until then, don't have detailed plans.
Yeah, but it's actually nice because I haven't been to Siargao myself. I usually just stay in Luzon, like the northern, the biggest island of the Philippines, in Manila. I actually reside in Manila. But do you also plan to go to other places in the Philippines?
Yeah, I've been to a few places actually. So just before this, I was in Cebu for Sinulog.
Oh,
and that was really cool, like seeing that festival and like the amazing dances there.
Ah, Sinulog.
Yeah.
wow. Yeah. Oh, that's very nice. And
so this is my second trip to the Philippines actually, and last time I went to Bicol region as well, diving with the whale sharks there. That was amazing, and also to Cebu. And went to like Malbol, to the Sardine Rush, free diving there. That was amazing. And canyoneering there. And then to Sikihorm and Dumaguete.
Have you been to a few places?
Yeah, I've been there. Stayed for a bit in Makati.
Oh, but Manila is a bit too crowded and a bit too... Yeah. The traffic jam is very bad.
And I did like one trip to Intramuros and to Chinatown. Oh, and I really like that actually.
Spanish. Yeah. It's Spanish. Yeah. It's Spanish architecture, Spanish. Yeah. Actually, it's one of my favorite places in Manila because it's very symbolic. It's very meaningful.
Yeah. That's a nice place.
Yeah. So let's go to the blockchain part now. I think other people are very excited to know that in TravelFeed you can actually earn when you do travel blogs. So there's actually also a reward or monetization system. So how can people earn when they do a travel blog, and how much can people earn?
So earning is as easy as connecting a Hive account to your existing Travelfeed account if you signed up by email. Or if you already have a Hive account, you can also sign up with an existing Hive account directly. And as soon as it's connected to Hive, Travelfeed becomes fully interoperable with Hive. So anything you post on Travelfeed gets posted to Hive automatically. And any votes you get on Hive from people who are registered on Travelfeed also like reflect on Travelfeed. And how much you can earn like completely depends really. So first, it depends on the price of Hive. So in the early days of Travelfeed, there was like the like big bull market of 2017, early 2018. And I remember I was a student living really on a budget and I did a travel blog and it earned like $400 and so on. And that was for me like so much money. I was like, hey, I can travel for that for a month. And yeah, but then of course it went down a lot and it really depends like if your post gets picked up by some curators. So you can't expect that much currently, but maybe again, if prices go up, it can really become like crazy or it can be like less than $1 or so. So it really depends. But the great thing is it's like really a super easy way to monetize a travel blog. So if you would start a travel blog with WordPress, first you have to do an upfront investment. You have to book like hosting and get a domain. And then it takes for a long time for your blogs to rank until you earn anything from affiliate income or advertising. Mm. And I believe that's actually a great way to scale a travel blog, but it can be really frustrating starting out because you have like that upfront investment and it takes a long time to even see like your first cents coming in from advertising or affiliate marketing. Well, like on Hive, like you just connect it to your Travelfeed account, you start blogging and your first post will probably already get a nice payout for you. So that's really motivating to start out. And also the Hive community is really active. Then people like comment on your post and can engage with the community. So that's a really great way. And on Travelfeed, we combine that with the more traditional way of like monetizing via affiliate and advertising. So if at a later point you feel that you want to blog more professionally, you can get one of the hosting packages at your own domain. And then you can really scale your earnings. And Hive gives you a one-time payout. So like 7 days after you post it, you get paid for your post, depending on the votes that the post got. But after that, you earn nothing anymore from Hive. But if you blog on your own domain, you can have like a passive income from affiliate earnings and advertising earnings. And that can be a really nice way. But it takes, of course, like a lot more effort to grow a blog and a lot more time. So combining both is really what makes Travelfeed special in terms of earning potential of a travel blog.
Yeah, I actually tried it before to do a WordPress blog and try to earn through ads, but I didn't earn any because, I mean, I earned like 10 cents every few days. But I think for that kind of setup, you have to collect a certain amount before you can get. So I didn't even reach the minimum. But I think what's the same with Travelfeed system is also like the monetization system in other Hive apps. Like there's the correct me if I'm wrong. Like in other apps, you can vote or you can like upvote. I forgot what it's called. You can put your currency. You can transfer your currency for other people to other users if you like their post. It's like giving them power, something like that. So does the system in other Hive apps also apply to Travelfeed?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same. So you're not even like spending anything off the Hive you have, but like the system like Hives works like that. You can like stake your Hive power, which means you lock it up for, I think it's about 3 months until it's like fully liquid again. And if you have like staked health power, that would generate like an interest in your bank account. So that's like a few percent interest it generates a year. But instead of that interest going fully to you, if you do nothing, you would get nothing. But if you do something and you upvote other posts, like you distribute the reward to the authors, and also you as a curator get rewarded for upvoting those posts. So that's a really good system, actually, that encourages tipping authors for great content, except that you don't actually pay for the tip. And at the same time, it's a very open system, so no one needs to like invest to start with Hive. In theory, you need like some Hive power to start blogging, but that's like solved by resource credits now. So if you sign up as Travelfeed, you automatically get a resource credit delegation and you don't have to worry about anything. You don't need to put any money in or anything. You can just like start earning Hive. And of course, if you want to, you can buy some and power it up, but you don't have to. And then with your earnings, if you want, you can like keep them as 5 power or power up more. And then you have the power to reward more members in the community for their great travel content or also other content at the Hive frontends.
Yeah, and maybe if you become popular, if more people upvote you, maybe you can earn a lot in Ravel Feed. But is there a native token, or you just use the Hive token for the economics in Ravel Feed?
Just the Hive token.
Yeah. So speaking about that, why did you choose to build on the Hive blockchain? So, and how did you know about Hive in the first place?
So it actually started out like while I was like traveling right after high school. So I started like reading a lot about blockchain, and that was already in 2016. And I was like really fascinated by the concept. And at that time, I don't think I had learned about blockchain blogging. I was only like reading some blogs on actually like platforms that use the blockchain, but I didn't even realize it until about a year later or so. And I was originally like fascinated by the idea of smart contracts, like the early Ethereum, but I wasn't a developer, so I couldn't like build anything based on smart contracts or so. I just found the idea like really fascinating. And then the like whole market went crazy. And at some point I learned about blockchain blogging, and I just wanted to like start a travel blog. And that felt like the right place to do it. So
you have a programming background, right? I mean, in university. But was it easy or difficult to transition to blockchain development? Is it very related?
So with Hive, it's actually really easy because you don't, like currently there's no capability for any smart contracts. I learned web development. Like originally before I was in university, I knew like some basic HTML. I did some projects with that in high school. And then I taught myself like all the like dynamic part of it, which was like JavaScript, and I use React. And then with Hive, there's like some, it's basically like some API. So there's not much to learn if you come from that background. Unlike if you develop smart contracts. So for my thesis, I actually developed some smart contracts, and that's, I find it very difficult. And you need to think about a lot of things as well, because if you make a mistake, it could get hacked also if you do something financial. So especially compared to that, developing for Hive is very easy.
Yeah, and by the way, what is it in a blockchain technology that you particularly like? I mean, why not do Travel Feed? Why not build Travel Feed as a non-blockchain platform? I mean, why did you like decide to make Travel Feed a blockchain project? I mean, is it about the decentralization aspect? What is it about blockchain?
So yeah, the decentralization aspect plays a big role in that. So I'm actually a fan of protocols. So, you know, like in the like earlier internet, you had protocols. Like for example, you have your email address and you have Gmail, but your friend has Outlook, but you can still communicate because it both uses the email protocol. But if you have only Facebook and your friend has only Twitter, you can't communicate because the web evolved into like more closed platforms. And I see like the like Web3 evolving in a more open direction again. So you have Travel Feed, and your friend only blogs on HiveBlog, but still your friend comments on your post on, can see your post from Travel Feed on HiveBlog and comments on it. And you see that reply on Travel Feed again. And that's this interoperability layer, what I really like. And then the second part is, of course, cryptocurrency, which I find really interesting. And there's so many possible aspects to it, because like before there was the internet, everything worked for like people who wanted to like monetize their content. It was like much more difficult to be able to monetize content. But if you were an author, it was maybe somewhat easier to like make a living because it was your full-time profession. And now with blockchain, it really opens up being rewarded for content creation to everyone, even if it's just a side hustle.
Yeah. Can you just speak a little bit more to this about cryptocurrency? Because until now, many people, I mean, I myself, I have interviewed so far a lot of people in the Web3 space, especially in the Hive space. And now I realize that cryptocurrency is actually like true solid money in the internet. I mean, it's true solid digital money. I mean, other people still don't grasp the concept that that's possible. But can you just give more light to this? Because I actually agree that the technology of cryptocurrency makes it easier for people to earn in the internet, because it's actually true money that you that goes around in the internet. I mean, when I was younger, so there are some websites like neopets.com, for example, those games, and then there's currency, but they're not true money. They're basically just credits from in the credits that are in the code. Or for example, Reddit, it's a sort of a forum platform, but there's no currency. But when you incorporate cryptocurrency in a certain platform like in Travelfeed, it's actually like you're actually like sending actual Philippine peso or actual US dollars when you do the upvote, or when someone upvotes your content, and you actually get that money right on the spot. So can you just speak a bit more to this?
Well, yeah, it's fully convertible against other currencies, including fiat currencies like the Philippine peso. But you had like a bit of like that before. I know, like when I was in high school, there were like some friends who were like playing World of Warcraft, and they were like buying or selling like some in-game credits there against euros. But that was, of course, not a cryptocurrency. And if you have like some in-game credits in a game like that, basically it's all just on the server of the developer. So if the company shuts down or they decide to like ban your account, well, your money's gone. And the same is in the fiat system, basically, where it is more regulated though, but it can still happen that the bank decides to shut down your account and you don't have access to it. And the interesting thing about cryptocurrency is that it is completely decentralized. So no one can shut down your account. And that has, of course, good parts as well as bad parts. Like the bad part is that this applies to everyone. So you can't shut down a cryptocurrency account of bad actors as well. But it really enables financial freedom and in a very democratized way. So for cryptocurrency, it doesn't really matter where you reside in the world. So you can be like somewhere in the Philippines and you just need a smartphone to be able to use it. You can be like anywhere in the world, and it doesn't matter like if you have access to banks or not, you can still use cryptocurrency and you can send it to others and receive.
That's actually one big advantage of cryptocurrency, because I told you before that I lived in Taiwan for more than 4 years, and I still have money there that I cannot even get. It's in a bank there, and it's there, they have the currency there, and it's not easy to wire or to transfer currency from one country's bank to another country's bank. It's very, 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 I mean, you can do it, but there are limits, and second, it will be very slow. And I think cryptocurrency can actually solve it. Of course, there are some loopholes to it. I mean, we know the disadvantages that people can use it for crime, for some bad stuff, but I think in a bigger perspective, I think that's a very powerful technology. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's really amazing. Like last year, I traveled to Central America and I was in El Salvador, where Bitcoin is now an official currency. And I could use the just like the wallet on my phone to pay for street food there and so on. That was really cool.
Oh. So I'm starting to believe that with Travelfeed and actually with cryptocurrency, the world can be more and more closer. The world can be more and more like connected, and we can basically have easier transactions, easier communication. And if we can see the world in Travelfeed, and we can know what it feels like to be in another place, and then we'd want to go there, I think that makes the world more connected. And I'd love to see a world like that. So let's end this interview with what do you see?
I just
in the
want to add about cryptocurrencies that like another aspect is that it's not just a currency, but it's actually programmable money with smart contracts. And that what makes it like really exciting in the age of the internet, because in like a lot of the platforms that we are using, we really depend on the intermediaries. So let's say you do like some online shopping and you would like buy on like Shopee or so. And you send the money to Shopee, basically, and then Shopee would send it to the vendor. And that is to prevent scams in some way. So there's always, in the traditional Web 2, there's always a trusted intermediary needed. But now with transactions that are completely online, you can do this now with programmable money and smart contracts. And this could even be transactions that don't directly need humans anymore. So machines could communicate with each other over smart contracts. And pay for transaction with that. And that's actually really exciting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so what's in the future for Travel Feed, and what do you think is in the future for the entire cryptocurrency and Web3 space?
So for Travel Feed, what we are trying to do right now is just grow it and establish it really as the easiest and best way to start a travel blog. So we are working like mostly on onboarding more users to the platform, especially people who just want to like start travel blogging. Cryptocurrency in general, I'm excited for content creators about options like licensing coming with like smart contracts. I worked on my thesis on something like that. It has like nothing to do with Travel Feed at this point, but it's also an interesting aspect that's not really used yet, like that you can do like licensing of texts or of photos, but everything is on-chain. And you can like split the licenses, you can like share revenue with the creator can sell future revenue. So this would mean the financialization of content creator earnings, which is something I think has a lot of potential. With the cryptocurrency space in general, it's like growing in so many directions, like it's difficult to keep track of it. There's like a lot of new applications, like some make a lot of sense, some make less sense. There's a lot of like experimental things, but it's really interesting to watch what's happening and to participate in it. I think there's like a lot more coming that we have no idea about right now.
Yeah, actually the crypto space is actually exciting, and I hope the people we use this new technology for the good. So thank you very much, Julian. So if our listeners want to know more about Travel Feed, maybe they want to start travel blogging right now. So how can they get more information? And you can lead them to the website or to other channels where they can find more information about Travel Feed.
Yeah, the best way is to visit travelfeed.com and just sign up for an account. It's free. It's done in less than a minute, and you can try it out for yourself.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Julian, for this conversation, and have fun in the Philippines.
thank you. Thank you. I'm really enjoying it here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to our 34 patrons. This episode is super powered by AskLexPH Academy, our official e-learning partner, the certifications on Lean Sigma, project management, data science, and many more. Juan CFO, CFO services, bookkeeping and tax and payroll processing for startups and small businesses. DiviCode Technologies, IT solutions specializing in software development, blockchain smart contracts, digital wallets, decentralized applications, and cybersecurity. Voila, the next evolution of digital trust, privacy-focused, seamless digital experience for sharing identity information across Web2 and Web3 ecosystems. Buzz, Web3 microblogging app promoting freedom of speech and content ownership. Benjoy's Food Products, the home of premium bacon ends, Tapa, and Tocino. And Space Cebu, the biggest branch in the Philippines, global co-working space, meeting rooms, and private offices for startups, digital nomads, and freelancers. Looking for buy and sell online with Sigurado Sellers. NutriCoach, the all-in-one productivity tool for dietitians and nutritionists. And Podify Team, podcast launch, production, editing, and management company, helping to increase podcasters' efficiency. This episode is powered by Contact, affordable RFID business cards. Uplift Code Camp, Sirius MD, Board Prep, Pareto Consulting, Zales, and Pocketworks. Please support the podcast through the links in the description.